Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
That was the call of the game brought to you by Nissan. Nissan is here to help you save this summer with lower MSRPs on Rogue and Pathfinder. The possibilities are endless. Visit your local dealer today. And the possibilities are endless for the Boston Red Sox after a come-from-behind 11-9 walk-off win. You just heard a 308-foot home run.
It was that far?
Yeah. It's the most perfectly placed home run in the history of baseball. It was, according to our guy Brad Foe, the shortest home run by a Red Sox player at Fenway Park in the StatCast era. And it came on the heels of Seydon Rafaela hitting the longest home run of his career a night earlier. He's homered in 3 straight games. And the Red Sox, they show fight. Whether this is some inflection point, I'm not jumping to conclusions, because if you listen to the end of the Nissan postgame show with Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks, Will Fleming was talking about the win, and Will Middlebrooks kept saying, and I loved when he said something to the effect of, yeah, but that doesn't overshadow all the bad stuff that happened today, so we got to remember all that. Andy Hart here, Nick Fitzy Stevens, Ted Johnson, WEEI Afternoons. Lucas Giolito laid an egg, another Red Sox starter that can't get out of the second inning. He did get out of the first, so great for
him. That's putting it nicely, Andy.
Awesome, yes. To the point where my buddy Will Fleming was almost doing a career obituary on the broadcast. Like, I don't know what's going on with Giolito. But the good news is, after we saw Alex Cora last night, kind of questioning himself, questioning the team, questioning where this was going, the mistakes, they're not getting any better, he said.
Questioning his decisions, questioning his life.
Questioning everything. Now we get a walk-off win, which we know in baseball, little things. I've been yelled at, and I've been told that young players can't lead, but I just watched Seydon Rafaela win a baseball game. I don't know if that can be something that they can use as a jumping-off point. But they head to New York, off day tomorrow. They get on a flight later this afternoon. Fun flight, happy flight to New York. Got a day off, and then you got a big one with the Yankees. So what could have been an hour of bitching here on WEEI Afternoons by the hosts and by the callers, maybe we have an hour of optimistic talk about what can this do for a baseball team that really needed this kind of win.
Yeah, the funny thing about that dinger, Ted, is that it was only a home run in Fenway, and as our pal Terp, Justin Turpin, just posted to Twitter, it was not a home run in 29 other ballparks, but that doesn't matter because it was a homer where the fans deserved and needed one today in beautiful conditions. 2 glorious nights, sadly squandered by gut-wrenching defeats. Today, the fans are basking in that early summer sun, boys, having glizzies and cold beers. The park was actually almost packed, like completely packed, on a Wednesday afternoon in early June. And the Red Sox, Ted, literally get the luckiest, most necessary home run in the history of baseball. And I'm sure you can attest to, sometimes you just take the dub no matter how you get it.
I guess. If you guys want to be all about rainbows and lollipops, I mean, I'm a little surprised to hear you guys having this this viewpoint. I mean,
I'm trying, Ted.
I hear you, man. I hear you, brother. Bro.
It was bad.
It's really bad. I mean, let's face it. I mean, are you kidding me? They give up four runs in the first. Obviously, Giolito just horrendous. I mean, he's just been awful. And of course, the bats light up, but you cannot bank on that. It is this is to me, guys. This is the lowest point. I mean, we've been trending that way the last couple games, but this is about as bad as it gets right now. And Alex Cora, after his comments last night, he pulled a lever that I was waiting for him to pull, which is basically throwing himself on a sword and saying I don't know what's going on. Like, I have no more answers. Like, the optimism, the eternal optimist in him, and God bless him. I mean, he hell bent on showing up every day to work with a happy, smiley face because of how long the season is and how young the team is and that kind of thing. But after that 4-3 loss last night in extra innings, he just seemed like he was at a loss for what to do. And so today, hey, it's one game. But let's face it, it is one of many games that has really been a really disappointing, underachieving, head-scratching, just horrible season so far. And so, you want to play the Yankees, good luck. I mean, the good vibes you feel from today, that's not going to last that long. And I guess for me, to hear Alex Cora's comments after last night's game, it feels like he's at a point where he really doesn't know. And the biggest bugaboo for this team, I think, is clearly the pitching. And I don't know how you change it, guys.
So we've referenced it a couple times, and there was an interesting evolution of Alex Cora's emotion yesterday. About 2:30, he bounded into the studio at Fenway Park with some energy and was smiles and talked to us and answered all the tough questions. Then they go out and lose, and there was a very different post-game Alex Cora. So let's listen to how he reacted to another gut-wrenching loss last night.
We keep making the same mistakes. We're not getting better. At one point, it has to be on me, I guess, right? I'm the manager, so, I got to keep pushing them to be better. They're not getting better. They're not, We keep making them the same mistakes. I'll be very honest about it, very open about it, You get frustrated, but at one point it's like, okay, what are we going to do? What's going to change, Because we keep doing the same thing. We can keep talking about one-run losses. They're, 17, 18, whatever it is, And it's the same thing. So is it effort, preparation, like Duke said, attention to detail, I have no idea now, I watched that game. I was like, wow, this is real. It's frustrating.
Wow, this is real. This is a real bad baseball team. But I'll tell you, Ted. That's essentially Alex Cora calling his team out and calling himself out. That's about as far as he's going to go. I don't think he's ever going to flip over tables and scream. And, we even talked about it yesterday. Do people get sick of hearing the optimistic Alex Cora, the positive Alex Cora? Well, he called his baseball team out. He called himself out. And even though it started crappy and looked like it was going down the road of another tough, embarrassing type loss, they responded. They got the W, right? Like, this is a scoreboard world, and they got the W. So I think if you want to look for optimism, Ted, I think that's the one piece of or sliver of optimism is they got called out, and 12 hours later they won a baseball game.
Let's see what it does. So the lever I was talking about that he pulled was basically, you listen to those comments, the tonality of it was unlike anything you've rarely heard from him all season long. So that's his version of flipping tables and knocking Gatorade, tanks down. And that's how he shows, he's angry, is just by kind of just basically saying how disappointed and that he is in this baseball team. So, look, if you want to validate today, Fitzy, if you want to validate the good vibes from today, then you got to go win against the Yankees in 2 days. And that's the only thing that's going to make today feel good is if you go win another one and then another one and then put some wins together. Otherwise, this is just a momentary, you know, good feeling. It's had a lot of momentary good feelings, but nothing consistent and nothing really to get too excited about.
Yeah, it could very well just end up being like a blip of good vibes, otherwise lost in a sea of bad baseball, self-inflicted wounds, and errors. I mean, the fact that Lucas Giolito came out today and did a Richard Fitz tribute was almost comical. Like, Andy, I don't know if you, like, you know, were following the game on TV, the radio, on your phone, social media, whatever, but, like, there was a sarcastic, self-defeating tone to Red Sox fans on Twitter, just like, oh, of course Giolito came out and gave up six over the first four outs. Like, this guy sucks. This whole team sucks. This season sucks. Fans are like, Arcan was just tweeting out photos of guys that had 11 beers on the Green Monster. Like, people have just turned into Bob Uecker's character from the first half of the movie Major League, watching the Cleveland Indians. Like, it's almost a joke. People have now, what are we, 63 games into the season? People are expecting now, Sox fans and Sox Nation at large, are expecting the Red Sox to find ways to lose games and not holding out hope that they can pull up out of the tailspin, pull out a W from the mouth of defeat, and basically get their fans back into the season. That's a sad state of affairs. And this is supposed to be the optimistic side of Boston fandom post 13 parades, not the fellowship of the miserable pre the curse of the Bambino.
617-779-7937. Join the conversation. We got a little bit of a split panel here. Are we seeing this as a potentially optimistic first step, inflection point, whatever you want to call it? Or does this mask some of the continued issues the team has continued to have today? And Fitzy, you're right. This team has now reached the point where multiple times in a homestand, they're getting mock cheers, Bronx cheers, whatever you want to call them, because they got an out in either the first or the second inning. That's how bad it's gotten that they get cheered for doing very simple Major League Baseball type things like just getting an out. And you're right. I do think there's a certain portion of the fan base, and hell, maybe a certain portion of the team, that has begun to almost expect negativity, expect errors, expect misplays, expect things to go sideways. And I do think it's also interesting, Ted, that not only do I believe that Alex Cora was calling his team out, I think it's also very interesting or poignant, whatever you want to call it, that he included himself in there. And I think that's a little bit of a, if you guys care about me, if we have the relationship I think we have, I'm a relationship guy in that clubhouse. If you guys care about me, then you guys got to start doing better, because at some point, this all falls on my shoulders and costs me my job. So if you guys love me, go win a baseball game. Go make some plays. Go do good things.
That is what the modern day coach is trying to create. Mm-hmm. Okay? The modern day coach, you even look at it in the other sports. And I think Vrabel, to some degree, with like a Stephon Diggs. It's like this agreement, this understanding is, bro, I'm a new age coach, I'm a player's coach, right? I will have your back, but you have to have my back. And what does that mean? That means staying staying out of trouble, doing the things the right way, being a pro's pro, giving me your best effort. And that's the kind of, without it, you don't sign a contract saying that between the coach and player, but that's the kind of the understanding of today's coach and player relationship, especially in baseball, especially with Alex Cora and his personality with this young team. It's like, look, guys, I'm going to give you a chance to figure it out. I'm not going to be, throwing guys in and out. I'm going to give you, if you're struggling, I'm going to give you a little bit of time. I'm going to have your back in the media. I'm going to always cover you. But in return, this is what I expect. And he's not getting that return on what he's of this deal that the modern day coach makes with players. And so that is what is most frustrating, because Alex Cora, the last thing he wants to do, and really he knows there's no good in it, Fitzy, to sit there, yell and scream and put more pressure on these guys. He knows that's not going to get the response he's looking for. And so he's doing it the way I think he probably should. It's just the players aren't holding up their end of the bargain.
We lauded him for coming into the studio or calling us on the phone and being a good dude and being of good spirit. You know, yesterday he was chin up and full of sunshine when he should have been pissed off after the way that they lost the game the night before, squandering eight innings of one-run baseball from his bullpen coming up short 7-6. We appreciate the compete and the fight that they've shown in all three games, but I can't decide right now. Like, I was thinking if we were going to come to air today and they would have gotten swept by the Angels, losing two out of three to the Angels, who had lost 7 of 8 coming in, is embarrassing still, nevertheless. Like, losing the series to the Angels when you need to start stacking series wins, let alone just overall wins, is embarrassing. But I was trying to figure out, okay, if they got swept, someone had to go. Like, we were going to demand the pound of flesh. There would need to be a head in town square. Who do we think is probably checking their rent status or their, you know, most nervous of all the coaches on the Red Sox right now? Would it be Fatsy, or would it be, considering how ghastly the Red Sox have been with the fastball, Andy, and of course with these starts, would it possibly be Bailey?
Oh, it's absolutely Bailey. I believe today with Giolito not getting out of the second, it was the 16th start in the last month in which the starter did not get to the fifth inning, I believe.
How many?
I believe 16 in just over a month. It was May 6th or somewhere in
That's
there.
Disgusting.
It's absolutely disgusting. And, you know, there's other numbers that we can throw out there. The bullpen has actually, on the whole, been pretty good. The ERA for the starters, not good, and it did not get any better today when you give up 7 runs in 1 2/3 innings. So, absolutely, there is building pressure on everybody in the organization. But the difference is Andrew Bailey doesn't have to do a press conference every day or talk to WEEI Afternoon, so we can't monitor his pressure. Pete Fatsy, we can't see how his tone changes. We saw it from Alex Cora, and it was interesting. As I expected, 617-779-7937. The people have something to say, so let's start things off here with Tim in Connecticut. Tim, what are your thoughts on Red Sox getting an 11-9 win, but maybe not feeling great about it?
Well, first of all, I'm tired of people blaming Cora. I'm tired of people blaming Devers. The blame is squarely on management, the front office, the GMs, starting with Heim Bloom and then with Breslow. I mean, they have not built a major league roster. You cannot rely on prospects, and they got a bunch of them in their lineup. You cannot rely on prospects to be competitive. And they also did not build their team around their ballpark. They have a dominant left-handed hitting lineup. I'm really tired of seeing 375-foot fly balls for outs when past Red Sox teams have had power-hitting right-handed hitters that pound that wall. And you don't give a kid a major league long-term contract after 5 games. And you don't give Bello a long-term contract after one half of a good season. And you don't give Raffaella a long-term contract when you know he hasn't been able to hit major league pitching until the last week or so. And it all starts with the trade of Mookie Betts and the plan to build from within. You cannot build exclusively from within.
Thanks
and
for the call, Tim. Thanks for the call, Tim. I get the angst, but as soon as on a short show we start to go to Mookie Betts and get a little big picture, it's off the rails a little bit. And I get his frustration with some of the contracts. I'll tell you the contract that frustrates me if we're talking about contracts today.
Go for
what
it.
Do you get out of Lucas Giolito in about $40 million over the last couple of years?
I was thinking in the run up to the show today, like, it's not the worst contract handed out, because Pablo Sandoval and Carl Crawford and a few others would like to.
But it's annoying.
It might be top five. This, he misses a year, he gets paid 20. How would you like to get paid 20? Let's say you had a cold, Andy, and you had to take 3 weeks off, right? Or like something happened to your voice. How'd you like to get paid full freight to just like rehab your voice?
Yeah, must be nice. And they've done this a lot. Liam Hendricks. They've signed a bunch of these, Sandoval, not Pablo, Sandoval this year. Like they've
projects, shopping in the bargain bin, brother.
Well, that's what they all, the narrative is the same for all of those contracts that Tim was getting worked up about. And the ones that I'm bringing up, you're trying to save money. The reason you signed Raffaella and the reason you signed Campbell is because you're trying to save money in the long run, right? You sign him early. Yep. Oh, we'll get Christian Campbell for 8 years, $64 million, because we think he's going to be good, and that way we won't have to pay him real money down the road. Sometimes, though, if it goes bad with Raffaella, a lot of people don't want Raffaella in the lineup. They actually want Roman Anthony in the lineup, even though Raffaella has been good the last couple of days, or Campbell, who has been abysmal over the last month. If it goes
Someone needs to go to Worcester for a couple days, I think.
If it goes wrong, you wasted $64 million. And $64 million is not nothing. And $40 million for Lucas Giolito is not nothing. So I do think a lot of the criticisms about the management and building this team are fair. And most of them revolve around trying to find more efficient ways to spend their money, I guess, instead of just being the Boston Red Sox who see a good player, sign a good player. Ted, am I frustrations wrong? Because it seems like that's they're trying to be cheap and it bites them in the butt sometimes.
That's it, brother. Nope. That's you got it. You got it exactly right. And I would say this, you know, the Tim mentioned, you know, not enough right-handed. You know, look, not having Bregman in there is a huge right-handed bat
yep.
that's not out there. So just, I mean, I think there's, you know, there is some, look, the Bregman injury is a big one. And so that's, they weren't planning on him getting injured. But to your other point, that's exactly what it is, right? I mean, it's the kind of following the Atlanta Braves model. That's what the Atlanta yep. Braves started doing was when they started mm-hmm. seeing these guys just giving a little bit of a flash when they're younger that may, and this guy might, you know, turn out to be the real deal. Let's lock him in early so that we, you know, we pay now and don't have to really pay later on. So in a weird way, it is kind of, you can almost look at the Red Sox as far as their impatience or let's just say aggressiveness in signing young prospects as a cheap way of kind of doing business in some respects. Some would say it was smart. If they pan out, it's smart. If it doesn't, it looks like, you know, stupid and cheap. And so I kind of get what they're trying to do there. But at the same time, you kind of can see some of these guys. I mean, Christian Campbell from a defensive standpoint, doesn't look like he's ready for the bigs, and even offensively. But in Rafaela, he's just up and down. You just never know what to expect. So, again, they flash. You want to give them a bunch of money, but right now those investments don't look like they've been worth it.
617-779-7937. We see you lining up. How do you feel about the Red Sox 11-9 walk-off victory that felt like a loss for about 8 innings and 2 outs until Seydon Rafaela saved the day? Talking about it here on an abbreviated WEEI Afternoons. Up next, we'll continue to take your phone calls, but first we got Dan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
All with what's trending. That's at least one fan reaction on social media, and I would disagree with one description. I'm not sure it was even long enough to wrap around the pesky pole. It just kind of dropped right in front of it next to that woman who was curled up in a ball trying not to get hit by the ball.
She took cover. Like, what did she think was coming in? A meteor?
And, you know, lady, you could move. You have legs. You can walk away, go in a different direction. To actually rolling up in a ball is probably the worst way to avoid getting
hit
like
by a six Sam Summers deep by the pesky pole. I mean, it's not a medicine ball, for God's sakes, but that's just a nutty way for a nutty game to end on a nutty day at Fenway.
Before we get back to the phone calls, 617-779-7937, we do need to just acknowledge or address, and something maybe we can look into a little more and talk about tomorrow on the program, is I'm going to read from Rob Bradford, his description of a what he called a kerfuffle between the Angels and Red Sox before the game on the field that was captured. You may have seen it on social media. Some cameras captured it between Tyler Anderson and Red Sox coach Jose Flores. Bunch of Red Sox players, coaches, Angels players, coaches. Not like any punches were thrown or anything, or it was just a little jawing and standing there sort of baseball style. I particularly enjoy the coaches and players that were standing there leaning on a bat, just kind of observing the argument that was going on in front of them. But apparently some accusations of maybe some sign stealing and passing on of pitches, tipping of pitches from coaches to batters. No electronics, no schemes, no anything like that. But there was a little extra energy, and then I guess it's appropriate then that the two teams went out and scored, what, nine runs in the first inning? Yeah, maybe that lit a fire under the two teams. I don't know, because right now, if we're going to be honest, it's two teams that aren't really all that good. They're two mediocre to not good baseball teams out there that played a series, and one of the mediocre teams almost swept the other mediocre team, but as we just heard, you got a 308-foot home run that saved the day, and you walk off with an 11-9 win. Let's go back to the phone calls, 617-779-7937. Let's go to Mac, who was at Fenway Park today. Mac, how are we feeling about this win?
I'm feeling pretty good. It was interesting walking in there and, you know, taking on a deficit right off the bat, but we battled back. And, you know, I'm a bit more optimistic about this team. You know, we're basically a team that scored about 300 runs this season. We've lost 17 games by one run. So let's say we could produce 3%, 4% more offense, then essentially we're a 500 team or a little better right now. So, you know, I think all things considered, injuries, Casa out, Bregman out, I'm holding out a little faith. This team just needs to get hot at the right time, hit the playoffs, and off we can go.
All right, thanks for the call, Mac.
Am I the only one?
Yeah, go ahead, bud.
I was just going to say, am I the only one that thinks there's some symbolism that the one guy who's optimistic, there were sirens in the background?
Yeah, maybe.
What does everyone think is just going to suddenly catch fire?
He's such a homer.
You don't have a horn loud enough to blow for that guy.
Max, happy. He went to the game. He saw a walk-off. He probably had a few beers over the course of the afternoon in the sun. So there's probably a reason.
All right. But, like, I just... A couple callers ago, someone said, you know, one of the things that's kind of disheartening for him is that this lineup doesn't feel like it was built to take advantage of Fenway.
Yeah.
You got Bregman, and then when Bregman goes down, you really don't have any power hitting. Like, you can't put Refsnyder out there all the time because eventually diminishing returns would kick in. He's just great off the bench when you need a spell, and he's terrific against left-handed pitching. But there's not another right-handed bat. I don't see one coming up. Now, I know... I don't dare mention Roman Anthony or the fact that he tied a game last night in Worcester with a bomb. He's another left-handed bat. If the Red Sox are going to try to stay in this, don't you guys think that they should try to make a move for another power right-handed bat?
You know what? Let me just answer what Mac asked, and he was talking, you know, being optimistic. And look, it's who am I to tell a fan what to think? But I think he's kind of missing all the indicators and all the signs that they're not close, that this isn't just, you know, something that, you know, it needs a little tweaking and then all of a sudden it skirts around. I mean, they lead the major leagues in errors. They by far lead the major leagues in one-run losses. They have one of the worst starting pitching staffs in major league. They strike out at one of the highest levels of any team in the major league. And the runs that Mac was talking about, being optimistic about, how many games did they have, like, you know, 18-1, you know, wins against crappy teams where they were just teeing off on the other team, where it just how many runs they've scored to me is a little bit something that can go both ways. But those other things I mentioned are real problems that I just don't see. You know, look, you can be optimistic, but there's a lot of signs that tell you this team's in big trouble.
Absolutely.
Andy, I just want to present one quick stat, if I may. Talking earlier about Christian Campbell and how he may need to go down or go out to Worcester, take a hard left on the pike and spend a few weeks out there to get some seasoning. This stat from our old pal, Brian Barrett. Christian Campbell, on the season, 10 defensive runs saved. Out of 147 qualifying defensive baseball players, where do you think that ranks?
144.
I'm sorry, it was too optimistic a guess. 146.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, his head is spinning. There was two nights ago, there was a weak hit he had, and he went like right back to the dugout, and he was just up on the rail, and they zoomed in on him, and he just looked lost, overwhelmed, crushed, you know, broken man, however you want to deem it. And I get it. You know, when you stink for a month plus in baseball, it might be the worst sport there is, because it never ends. And he stinks at the plate. He stinks in the field, right? Like, it almost feels like every decision he makes in the field is the wrong decision. You know, that throw to the plate, the bad throw to, oh, he should have gone for two, and then you go for two, and you should have thrown to the plate. And it's like he's just playing catch-up the entire time right now. But I think that's symbolic of the whole team, Ted. And I do think there are a million factors. If you were sort of to break down this baseball team in just various areas, a lot of them are negative. Like, there aren't a lot where you're like, you know what? They really are close. They really, like, they're snake bitten, or they're really, like, no, the reason you lose one run games is because all of these areas where you're not very good, where you make a base running error, where you make a literal error in the field, where you strike out too often, you can't get a hit with runners in scoring position. You know, pitching wise, there's one. They have developed a terrible habit of being terrible against the bottom of the order. And I know Cora has talked a little bit about this, but how many times it feels like they walk the 8-hitter and then give up a hit to the 9-hitter, and you're like, well, that didn't go well. You're supposed to get those guys out.
Those guys out. They're the easy outs.
I think, and when you do that, majors against 7, 8, 9. Yeah.
Yeah, when you put them on base, bad things are going to happen, because now the order comes back around, and, oh, your mediocre pitching staff is facing the top of the order that has guys like Rafi Devers batting second, and all of a sudden, you're screwed. So, no, there are a lot of factors as to why this is a bad baseball team.
And, Ted, one other stat to back up what you were saying just moments ago. The Boston Red Sox lead the major leagues in strikeouts with runners in scoring position by 20 strikeouts.
Doesn't surprise me.
They have 171. Yeah. The Reds only have 151.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
That's embarrassing. You say fire Bailey. Why has Fatsy got job security with something like that?
Well, you can't fire everybody all at once. It's a step-like process. You try one at a time. It's like playing Jenga. You plop out a block and see if it's still standing, take out another block before it all falls down.
It does feel, though, guys, that, you know, levers are starting to be pulled that maybe weren't being pulled. Like, I just feel like they're at a point in which, you know, clearly the manager is kind of run out of rope, it feels like.
Yep.
With his patience. So he's getting maybe a little bit changing his tone. You know, I don't know, the little skirt, you know, the scuffle before the game, I don't know, that shows tensions. You know, all the guys that you can just see that are squeezing that bat maybe a little bit too tight. And here's, you don't know how to fix it. You can't just take, you know, a month off in the middle of the season and say, all right, let's recalibrate, let's try. They are, and there's so many issues with what's been established this year. Nothing really has been established. A culture, a philosophy. It feels like there's mixing philosophies. It feels like the communication is terrible. Is this a young developing team, or is this a team that was supposed to contend with just a few young guys sprinkled in? This team is has no identity. It doesn't know where it's going, and it's kind of unfortunate, because I, like a lot of us, thought that this team was a 90-92 win type of team, and it's hard to believe that it actually might be a worse team than last year's team.
Let's go back to the phone line. Steve in Centerville, what are your thoughts on the floundering Sox, Steve?
Yeah, thanks very much. First of all, definitely a worse team than last year. Mm-hmm. Secondly, let's talk about Craig Breslow. It's been mentioned by other callers, but, you know, early in the season, we all knew that we needed another first baseman. Dom Smith could have been signed, but he wasn't. Look at the pitchers. Look who he signed. We knew in the offseason that looking at 3-4-5 with who the Sox had between, you know, Brian Bello, between Cutter Crawford and Houck, you know, that's a risky, like, back end of the rotation. Did they add? No, they didn't. And then who's your major leverage guy leading up to the ninth inning is, Slater. He's hurt. Yep. You know, they picked him off the trash heap. So it's the same old stuff. To me, this starts and ends with Breslow. He needs to go. You need to put Alex in the GM role. Let him start choosing the groceries. Put Varitek in the managing job. And realize this little experiment with the smart Yaley that doesn't have much experience but is going to bamboozle us with his knowledge, guess what? It didn't work. And Campbell, that guy should be in AA. Look at his error.
Thanks for the call, Steve.
He didn't mention Mookie Betts, so we got to give Steve that, Andy.
Yeah, that was good, but not a lot of optimism there. That was a fire Breslow call. And there are certainly fair arguments to be made for a lot of people. You know, is the talent not good enough? Is the roster not deep enough? Is the depth not there? Are they not maximizing it? You know, Cora, is he not getting the most out of his pitching staff and lineup? Is he not getting the most out of his defense? Is Fatsy not getting the most out of the bats he's got to work with? You can make all of those arguments. I would say everybody has underachieved. If you put on a Red Sox jersey, other than the green jerseys that finally Rich Keefe got one at Fenway Park today, so we can stop with the videos and stop hearing the bitching. But if you put on a Red Sox jersey this year, you've underperformed for the most part. I would even put Devers there for his leadership and the way he started the season. He was a net negative to start the season, and I know he's been great since, but I would put him in the pile of problems this team has had.
Just one guy, I would say, has lived up to the billing, if not surpassed it, Crochet.
Crochet, and I think Bregman, you know, even him,
yeah,
though, the
okay,
errors
sorry.
Early, I didn't love the errors early on, and I know those are forgotten now, but, you know, they have not been a good baseball team for most of the season, and that's why they are where they are. They're floundering, but they did win 11-9 today, walk-off by Seydon Rafael. We'll continue to take your phone calls, odds and ends, and the end of an abbreviated version of WEEI Afternoons. Up.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Next, Lucas Giolito talking about his terrible start. 7 runs allowed, 6 extra base hits in 1 2/3 innings. But the Red Sox did come back, get the win. 11-9, and we are talking about it here on this abbreviated WEEI Afternoons. Coming up here on Odds and Ends, which is brought to you by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations. Also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS-4KIDS. That's Cars with a K. And for Odds and Ends today, we're just going to bang through these phone calls. We are
locked and loaded. Before you get to the phone calls, can I just make one comment about that sound from Lucas Giolito? The thing that's kind of disappointing. Look, I mean, the way he talks is it's the Chris Sale school of PR, which is just fall on the sword hard, and that's going to resonate with your teammates and the fan base, and that's smart. But it's like the one thing that's disappointing about Lucas Giolito is he really had 2 starts today, if you think about it, because he goes out there for his first start, and he's, you know, the score's tied, and then he gives up 4 runs. You know what? And then the Red Sox come up and they score 5 runs. So at the end of the first, the Red Sox have a 1-run lead. So what does he do for his second start, essentially in the second inning? He's got a 1-run lead and he chokes it away. He had 2 opportunities to kind of just settle in and to have a good day, and he failed both of those opportunities.
Yep. Absolutely. And Will Middlebrooks brought that up because he said, you know, that you take a breather here. It's all refreshed. Like, get a quick inning, right? Your offense picked you up. So let's get a good quick inning, get back. And boom, I think there was a double right off the bat. I think he gave up a double to lead things off. And it was like, oh, boy, maybe not a good quick inning. Maybe not anything has changed. So you're absolutely right. He had chances and he could do nothing with it. And I'll be honest, I'm pretty much done with Giolito. I don't think he's got a lot left in the tank. I mean, he led the league in home runs a couple years ago before the injuries and everything allowed.
That's why we gave him $40 million.
He's a batting practice pitcher at this point in his career. And I mean, he had a nice career and he was good at one point. But right now, I don't think he's a guy you can count on for anything. But that goes for some other pitchers on this staff right now. They got their issues. 617-779-7937. Let's bang through these phone calls. Let's go to Nick in the car. What is up tonight, Nick?
Hey, guys, thanks. Listen, Ted, what you said earlier, exactly right. This team has no identity. Cora told Will Fleming before the game, we need to stop making the same mistakes. All due respect, Alex, you need to stop making different mistakes. If you made the same mistake night to night, at least you know what your identity is. You know what you need to fix. My question, and I'll even, if you guys have a number for this, I started thinking this last night. I'm glad the team won. That's awesome. But, like, at this point, what are the odds? What's the likelihood Alex Bregman has played his last meaningful game of his Red Sox career? Because his contract, those player options are looking better by the day.
Thanks for the call, Nick. I think there are a lot of big picture conversations like that are on the horizon. Aroldis Chapman, you're going to tell me he couldn't help a contender? And I know Bregman could opt out, but that's the question. Can they salvage their season so that they are even playing meaningful baseball at or after the trade deadline? I don't feel great about it, but we'll see how they arrive in New York. They have an opportunity here. They get an emotional win. They get an off day, and then they get a big series against their rival, which happens to be the team that leads the division. So we'll see if they can build any positive momentum like we thought they did when they won a series in Atlanta and then went down 6-0 in the first inning before they got an out the very next game at Fenway Park. Back to the phone lines. Let's go to Angus in New Hampshire, who has beef with the Red Sox. What's up, Angus?
Oh, I got a beef, all right. We as Red Sox fans, and you guys as hosts even more, we are living the Abbott and Costello, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third joke. We are the punchline. They have had, 9, 12 different players play those 3 positions throughout the past 2 months? It's unbelievable, honestly. I feel like we'd be having less errors if the people actually knew where they were going to be every game and they could actually practice for it properly.
Thanks for the call, Angus. Absolutely. That's been one of my criticisms of the guy you brought up, Fitzy. I think Campbell is struggling like a young player. You're not helping him by forcing him to prepare for multiple positions and bouncing him around and screwing with his head and his body and his and all of that. So, you know, these young players are playing like young players, but I'm not sure the team or the coaching staff is helping the young players out.
I kind of wonder if they know what to do with him. I mean, I bet they probably look at him and say, hey, this kid is super athletic. This guy has a great swing. He's going to be a great major leaguer someday soon. So let's just keep auditioning him everywhere. Like, guys, this isn't a develop. You have several layers, you have A, AA, AAA. Ted, let them. Those seasons don't count as much. This is your $200 million payroll Red Sox club with a fan base that has extremely high expectations. Go sell experimentation elsewhere. This fan base wants results, and they want them now.
Let's squeeze in one more phone call. Dan in Millbury, has a point of criticism. What's up, Dan?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I don't understand why not one time do you guys ever talk about getting rid of this damn hitting coach.
We have thanks for the call, Dan. We do talk about that. We've talked about literally everybody. We've run polls on it. Because everybody is facing criticism. It can be either Breslow or Cora or Fatsy or Bailey. And I do believe that somebody soon has to pay the price. And I don't think it's going to be Alex Cora, because I think he's a little bit of a made man. Even we had calls earlier that already want to bump him up to the front office, get rid of Breslow. But if they keep doing the types of things that they've been doing, all these multiple mistakes, somebody's going to pay for a job. And it might be Fatsy, might be Bailey, who knows? We'll see. But that's going to do it for WEEI Afternoons. We'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 6, full program. I'm sure we can bitch about the Red Sox a bit more. We can talk about the Patriots. Stanley Cup playoffs start tonight. There will be plenty of meat on the bone. Red Sox win 11-9, but Ted Johnson says, not so fast, my friend. Nothing is cured. Nothing is fixed. It wasn't a great day at Fenway Park, so we'll talk about that tomorrow. Have a good night, everybody. That's going to do it for WEEI Afternoons.
One of the dumbest ways you can end this stupid f***ing game. We'll take it. We'll take the W.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.